Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we are going to be learning together Mizmor Samech Tes, the 69th Psalm, the Book of Tehillim. And the topic of today, our Mizmor, is exile and hate. Let's take a quick look at this. This Mizmor is rather long, similar to the last one. It is 37 psukim long and is divided into three basic sections, which are pretty clearly delineated. The first pasuk, of course, is his introduction, which is called Lamanatzech al Shoshanim le David. It is a for the conductor on the Shoshanim. Shoshanim literally means a rose. We'll see in a second what that means. And it is to David. The first section is the lion's share of this. It is from Pasuk Beis to Chof Beis 2 to 22. And it focuses on describing the Tzara, a terrible predicament, and begging Hashem for forgiveness and being able to escape it. In this regard, the situation is he describes how the situation of persecution, the embarrassment and scorn he receives from it, and the prayer to escape from that scorn and the complaint over it. Finally, he moves into the section 2 in Psukim Chof Gimel to Chof Tes, in which we see really, I would say, perhaps one of the most unusual passages in Tanakh and certainly in Tehillim, where there is this unmitigated anger cursing the enemies, cursing those who have derided him, cursing those who have hunted him down. Very, very strong language in those psukim. And finally, the Mizmor closes Lamed 2, Lamed Zion 32-37, with a song of thanksgiving in which he calls the rest of the earth to praise Hashem. In terms of the movement of this Mizmor, it seems like the Meshorer, the narrator, is being persecuted terribly, and the persecution is not being done rationally. It's not because of things that he did. He describes that he's not a perfect person, but certainly does not warrant what he is seeing and experiencing. So there are rallying calls of false accusations. His extortion is happening. He's paying up for things that he did not do, and he's calling out to Hashem. He feels spiritually isolated. In fact, when he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he feels that there is nobody there for him. He doesn't feel like God is there for him. He doesn't feel like people are there for him. He feels completely abandoned. He curses his enemies. And then finally, he promises, if he gets out of this situation, to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to sing a song of praise and try to get the rest of the world to see the greatness of Hashem. That's the general flow of this Mizmor. A few points to notice in terms of the theme is that this sounds like it is a public woe. It sounds like this person, the Meshorer, the narrator, is not talking about a personal experience of difficulty, which has happened. It is rather the public disgrace for which he is relating to. There's something very difficult which he has had been going on in his life. And he is witnessing it, and because he cares about it, because he fights for it, therefore he is being ostracized, therefore he is being abandoned and persecuted, even by those who are very close to him. He talks about being a stranger to his brothers and alien to his mother's sons. So it sounds like it's the deep discord because of his care about the national concern. In terms of the general flow of the whole book of Tehillim, it seems that this Mizmor, Samech Tes, is the mirror opposite to the Samech Ches, the previous one, 68. 68 was a public rendition about the victory of God, about the return of Hashem's escorting Israel, the return of the Torah and the Ark to Zion. It's very much a moment of victory and appreciation. This Mizmor, it seems to be much more serious. It's about faltering, failing, suffering, persecution, and the prayer to finally leave it. In terms of the events behind this Mizmor, the Mefarshim struggle to work out who this is or what this is referring to. It does say LeDavid, it's to David, so it must have to do something to do with his life. Many of the Mefarshim contend. So for instance, the Malbim suggests that it could be referring to a personal experience in David HaMelech's life, like Avshalom's persecutions, or it could be a national experience of Golos or some sort of exile. And he says, Upirushenu, Yisbol Shnei Raya Inyanim. He says the way I'm going to explain this is going to be on multiple planes. It's going to be on the plane of the personal and the national as he goes on to explain this. Many of them, Forashim, do suggest that this refers to the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. We're referring to an event which goes on much later than many of the events behind the Mizmorim up till now. And it is about that destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. And we know that during that destruction there was discord among the Jews as well. The Israelites themselves are fighting among themselves whether to work with Bavel, whether not to work with Bavel, whether to make contracts with the neighboring nations, whether to fight, whether not to fight. And you can imagine this infighting, which Yirmiyahu describes and experiences, could be what is talked about over here about the internal ravaging and fighting within families, even at the time of destruction. It also does relate to this because the one pasuk which should sort of give us pause when thinking about this is Psukim Lamed Aleph to Lamed Beis, where it says, "Ahalalosh Shem Elokim b'Shir v'Agalenu b'Soda." I will praise Hashem's name and bring it up in thanksgiving songs. V'sitav la'Hashem yishar por makrin mafris, and that'll be greater than this ox with beautiful horns and hooves. And the Midrash says that refers to the first shor, the first ox which was ever brought as a sacrifice, the korban of Adam Harishon, in fact. But the point over here is that he's saying he's bringing a song instead of the korban. Does that mean to say that the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed and he cannot bring a korban, which is what this sounds like is going on over here? Or maybe it's not. Maybe it refers to during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and we're talking about perhaps, let's say, prophetically, when, as Ibn Ezra says, that there's going to be exile in the future. And what is really being said is I'll say song to Hashem, even though I could bring a korban, but the song, the heartfelt expression of song, is greater than the actual outer act, because even though it is available now. Or as the Da'at Mikra says, that Ma'at referring to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash might be referring to the desecration of it. As you know, there were numerous kings at the times of Melachim who had control over the Beis HaMikdash and ultimately treated it terribly and allowed all kinds of polytheism and pagan worship to occur on its precinct of the Mikdash, within the precinct of the Mikdash. And therefore, this is a response to that, is that that even though the korbanos are optional, are an option at this point in time, we will still bring the shir, which is from the heart. Another ingredient to consider in this mix is Pasuk Lamed Vav, where it says, Ki Elokim Yoshia Tzion Vivne Ore Yehuda V'yeshu Sham V'yireshua, Hashem will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judea, the area of the southern kingdom, the area of what we have Yehuda and Shamron today. And this sounds like it could be referring to the total destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the rebuilding in the future, or could be, no, another period of a dip in the, we'll call it the structure of the southern kingdom, which occurred many times in Sefer Melachim. One example was when Sennacherib laid siege to Jerusalem. First, he destroyed many of the villages of Yehuda. So this could be referring to after that calamity, that is perhaps what's being referred to over here. So there's a little bit of ambiguity as to when this calamity is referring. In terms of the places that in our Siddur, in our Tefillah, that this Mizmor appears, it does not appear wholesale, but so many of the Psukim do appear. Listen to some of them and see if you can note where they come from. Let's take a look. Pasuk Zion as an example. Al Yevoi Shuvi Koi Vecho Hashem Elohim Tzvokois. Al Yekom Ubivim Vakshecho Elokei Yisrael. Let those who seek you, O God, Lord of the hosts, not be disappointed on my account. Let those who seek you, O God of Israel, not be shamed because of me. Now let's think about this for a second. Where does that pasuk come from? Well, that's actually part of the nusach on the Yomim Noraim. This appears in the Shachris of Rosh Hashanah and the Musaf of Yom Kippur, directly this pasuk. Take another example. Pasuk Yud Dalad, Va'ani Sefilo Silecha Hashem Eis Ratzon, Elikim Baruch Chastecha, Neni B'Emes Yishecha. As for me, may my prayer come to you, O Lord, at the moment at a favorable moment, O God, in your abundant faithfulness, answer me with your sure deliverance. Where does that appear? Well, that appears a few times. It appears at Shabbos Mincha before the Torah is taken out. It appears in Ma'atovu at the end, which is said in the mornings before a person starts davening. It's also said when a person does Yud Gimel Midos, the 13 attributes of mercy, on a Yom Tov before the Torah is taken out. So that's a very famous pasuk. Pasuk Yud Tes, as another example. Where does this come from? Where does this express itself? Karva el nafshi ge'ola, bring my soul close and redeem it. Pasuk Yud Tes. Well, that's the words that Rav Shlomo Alkabetz in the 16th century used as the platform to create one of the stanzas of Lecha Dodi as we bring in the Shabbos. Another example, Pasuk Chavei, Shefoich Aleihem Zamecha V'charon Apcha Yasigeim, pour over them your wrath and your anger. We will let your blazing anger overtake them. Where does that come up? Well, that is this night of the Seder, when we raise the cup of Eliyahu, or after we've poured the cup of Eliyahu, when we open up the door, this is when we say Shefoich Chamoschu, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to avenge the wrong that has befallen Israel. And finally, Pasuk Chavtes, the Nusach of Yimochu Misefer Chayim V'im Tzadikim Al Yikosevu, let them be raised from the Book of Life and not be written among the righteous. a flip of that text is used in the Nuschas in the Aseret Simei Teshuva. This Mizmor is really replete with aspects of our tefillah from around the year. There's obviously more as well, but here are a few examples. In terms of psukim or words in the spotlight, one word to consider is the word shoshanim, which is in the first pasuk. What is shoshanim exactly? The Metzudas Tzion points out it refers to a clay nigun. It refers to a musical instrument, which is made in the shape of a shoshana, which is a rose. The Chida, on a deeper level, Rav Azulai points out that it refers to the image of the rose in the thorns. When you look at a hedge and all there is thorns, and then deep in the recesses of the thorn bushes, you see something beautiful sticking out. That's what Israel is likened to in the diaspora, in the very long and dark galus, where Israel is this beautiful thing which is sticking out among many, many difficult things. That's what we're seeing over here, and that's the image which is used specifically in this mizmor because of the difficulties of exile we are hearing about. Pasuk Bay is just an example. There's so much depth in each pasuk, but here's an example of another pasuk which we can really plumb the depths. Hoshieni Elokim ki vo mayim ad nofesh. Hashem, save me because the water has come to my soul, whether it be to the point where I'm not able to live anymore. The Gemara in Sota Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph tells us that when Nachshon ben Aminadav and the rest of Israel stood on the banks of the Yam Suf on the Red Sea, nobody knew what to do. There was no sign. They didn't know what was going to happen. So Nachshon jumps in and starts wading into the water. Nothing happens. He goes up to his knees, up to his hips, up to his chest, up to his chin, and finally his nose. And nothing happens. And finally he calls out to Hashem and he says, Hoshieni Elokim ki vo mayim ad nofesh. Hashem, save me because the water has come to my soul. And that's when the seas split. And that is this moment. These are the words of Nachshon themselves. So each pasuk really has a lot of depth, really has a lot of background. It's worthwhile noting as well that this one of the images and themes of this mizmor is water. And he talks about later on not being swept away or being caught in the deep waters. This is certainly an image, but it relates to a specific story. And finally, let's close with the famous pasuk of Shvoch Aleihem Zamecha V'Charon Apcha Yasigeim. Pour upon your wrath upon them, may your blazing anger overtake them. This is a pasuk which is used, as was more pointed out just a moment ago, in the Haggadah itself, where we turn to Hashem and talk about in one of the very few moments in the year where we ask Hashem for vengeance on those who have maltreated us throughout all of history and the millions of lives and bloodshed which has been unavenged in Jewish history. We turn to Hashem, and today, certainly to the modern sensitivities, people say, "Wait a second, you know, that's not a Jewish value. You know, we all have to love, and we forgive and let live." Well, the truth is, you know, that it's really worthwhile. There's a beautiful article written by Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik called "The Virtue of Hate" in First Things, and in this article, he starts off by describing a book written by Simon Wiesenthal. Simon Wiesenthal wrote a book called "The Sunflower," and he describes when he was in the Holocaust, how he was called into a sick bed where there was a Nazi who was dying, and this Nazi was wanted to describe everything he had done. He lay there in the bed and described to Simon all the terrible murder and torture of hundreds of Jews. And then he expressed what at least he showed to be regret and remorse, and he wanted to confess to this Jew and beseech forgiveness. Wiesenthal was not able to say anything. He walks right out of the room, and he was tortured by the experience. Did he do the right thing, the wrong thing? Should he have forgiven? Should he have been more vehement against him? What should he have done? And he opened it up as a forum, and in fact, many people responded. Many leaders and thought leaders responded to Simon Wiesenthal, and today it's printed in a book called The Sunflower, which is really worthwhile reading. About whether or not he should have forgiven or been more forceful about not forgiving. And Dennis Prager pointed out an interesting point, and that is when you looked at all the respondents, almost all the Jewish respondents said that he should not forgive, and almost all the Christian respondents thought he should forgive. And what Rabbi Soloveitchik develops in that essay is the idea that there is a space for hate. There is a space for hating absolute evil. He quotes Cynthia Ozick, who is one of the respondents, and she quotes, and this is the quote, when Simon Wiesenthal brushed away a fly from the Nazi's broken body, she concludes her essay by saying, "Let the SS man die unshriven, let him go to hell, sooner the fly to God than he." Meaning to say, when you see absolute evil, when you see somebody whose life is bent upon hurting and torturing other people, then yes, there is space for hate. We don't just let that go as water under the bridge. There is space for that. Obviously not to hold it, but there's it's really a worthwhile topic to expand upon, to read. And he talks about his grandfather, Rav Soloveitchik, and his perspective on the Oslo Accords and dealing with terrorists, not from a political standpoint, but from dealing with people who will say one thing in public and then use all the money they get to actually kill and maim people in the suicide intifada which followed the Oslo Accords. Really a very, very thought-provoking issue. And a lot of it stems from this pasuk over here, is where we do ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to spell out his wrath on those who are evil to us. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.